You know what? If it's between two people and two people are comfortable with it, that's all that matters. It's not anything anybody else has to say about it.
I love porn.
It's damn good porno that tells some good truth.
I don't think we're over-sexualized. I think we're over-commercialized.
How many dicks can you stick in a girl at one time?
You want more cocks? You want different cocks?
You want a lot of cock, baby?
Yeah.
Some different ones. I call this attention.
Oh, you fuck me so good.
People say to me, but if you're against pornography, are you against sex? That's like saying to me, if I'm critical of McDonald's, I'm against eating.
When I watched porn at an earlier age, it made me feel that women wanted men to fuck them, like, all the time. So if I were to kiss a girl, what instantly shot through my head is, oh my God, like, does this girl want to have sex with me? Like, I was very intimidated that she would begin speaking to me like, oh, you're sexy, like, I want to fuck you, like, I want you to fuck me, come here, big boy. And I'm like, you know, honestly, like, this is what runs through my head at a younger age. Like, I'm sitting there, I'm like, I am not big, I am not a big guy. Like, if a girl ever said that to me, I'd be really scared of her.
I was about 10 years old, and I found some of my father's Playboy magazines. I studied and looked at them for a long time. In comparison with them, my mother just looked really flawed and kind of ordinary and ugly, I guess. So I thought that must be why my dad has these pictures, is because my mother isn't good enough for him.
I was probably 11 or 12 years old, and I had a friend who was kind of ahead of her time and, you know, wanted to be very mature and kind of edgy, and she, her father had a lot of pornography in the house, and I think we sat down and watched some porn.
When I was like 10 or 11, and I was with my brother, and I remember I came into his room, and he was like sitting there on his stool in front of his computer, trying to like download porn pictures onto his computer.
Like Eli, many children today discover pornography on the internet. But the first image they see is likely to be not just a naked woman, but aggressive penetrations of a woman's multiple orifices.
How can I degrade you today?
I want you to pound my fucking tight little asshole. Maybe stick my head in the toilet.
You're a dirty little bitch, aren't you? He's such a fucking tramp.
With its ease, affordability, and anonymity, the internet has contributed to a skyrocketing production and consumption of pornography. There are an estimated 420 million pages of pornography online, and each year, 13,000 porn videos are released and over 900 million videos rented. How do these pornographic messages help shape our gender and sexual identities and our relationships? How did this industry, once considered seedy, become part of the cultural and economic mainstream?
Tonight, we are going to take you into the parallel universe of pornography in America today. It's now an estimated $10 billion business, which is bigger than the NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball combined. More than all the tickets spent at movie theaters. Some of the most respected corporations in America are making millions from it, while saying nothing publicly at all.
With estimated annual revenues of $10 to $14 billion, the pornography industry has developed close ties with telecommunication and media corporations. Time Warner, CBS, and News Corp collectively earn $1 billion annually from pornography, either by directly distributing pornography through video on demand, or by producing and licensing porn-related content and cross-promoting it through their various media holdings. Pornography production, once considered exploitative, is now depicted as a fun and normal business.
I'm a single dad with a son that I absolutely adore. And I work with my mom and my cousin in the family business. Just one more thing. My business is entertaining adults.
While the pornography industry has been amassing tremendous wealth and is increasingly accepted by the establishment as legitimate business, it has also gained political and legal power.
I am a proud member of the board of directors. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the mother of all defense teams standing in front of you. We are proud and fortunate to have you on our side.
In 1991, the pornography industry founded the Free Speech Coalition, a lobbying group that builds relationships with lawmakers and state officials while tracking legislation throughout the 50 states. Bill Lyon, the former executive director of the Free Speech Coalition, was a lobbyist for the defense industry. In 2003, 60 Minutes reporter Steve Croft interviewed him about his role.
What kind of reaction do you get when you go up to legislators all over the country and tell them you're the lobbyist for the adult entertainment business?
Initially, I think there's a degree of shock. But when you explain to them the size and the scope of the business, they realize, as all politicians do, that it's votes and money that we're talking about.
The Free Speech Coalition has repeatedly won important legal battles. In 2002, the U.S. Supreme Court struck down the ban on virtual child pornography, granting the pornography industry the right to produce images which simulate child pornography, using computer-generated technology and youthful-looking adults.
Hi, Kitty. What are you doing here today?
Oh, I just thought I'd come over and study for a little bit.
You know, Mr. Stone, you're my favorite client. I love babysitting for you.
Have you ever considering having a secret boyfriend?
What do you mean?
I could, like, hold you like this sometimes. And I could do things like this.
Mr. Stone, you're so fat.
Porn movies such as this are routinely delivered to millions of homes and hotel rooms through satellite and cable TV.
Is this porn?
In mainstream media, watching pornography is no longer depicted as dirty or shameful. It is just normal male behavior and even a bonding experience.
Yeah, Joey just pressed something on the remote and it just came on.
Hey, man, got a big box of porn for you.
Oh.
Can I come in?
Yeah, yeah. You're the weird one, man. Don't make me feel weird because I like porn. You're the weird one for not liking porn. I'm normal as shit.
If you're going to tell the story of how especially mainstream media legitimizes pornography, then you have to put Howard Stern front and center of this.
It was a wild bash fit for the king of all media. Everybody's talking about Howard's end, from penthouse pets to a former president.
I hope he does well. I expect he will.
On his radio and television programs, Stern introduces different types of pornography to mainstream audiences, talks about his and other men's use of pornography, and routinely interviews porn performers.
Tara, are you ready to take your sausage?
Oh, yeah.
Has no gag reflex. Oh, wait a second. Mark it.
We have 4.25 inches.
Pretty impressive.
Wait a minute.
Popular music videos are increasingly using porn performers as central characters or background dancers. Gregory Dark is a director of extreme pornographic movies. One of his best-known movies, Let Me Tell You About Black Chicks,
portrays black women being raped by white male Ku Klux Klan members.
Hello?
Gregory Dark has since gone on to direct feature films and music videos for pop singers, including Linkin Park, Mandy Moore, Britney Spears, and Exhibit. What you see is what you get now. Exhibit
never wait around for no kickdown. Got my own shit loud. Shot heard. Pornography and hip-hop has been with us for some time now. Artists like Too Short, who portrays the pimp image. Ice-T, certainly, with a song called Girls Let's Get Butt Naked and Fuck Tonight.
Hip-hop artist Snoop Dogg has also directed hardcore pornographic videos.
Never had no pussy like this. Never had my dick sucked like this before. You bougie little
whore. You'd have to be living under a pretty big rock to not be able to have access to erotic images. Like I'm a little girl. What did you ever think it'd be okay for me to step into this world? Oh, yes.
It was just thrown at me from the time I was 12 or 13. That you're obligated to have sex. That's how you kind of exist as a social being, as a woman.
And if you're bothered by it, there's nowhere left for you to go, really.
The story that will surprise you about the business of adult film. Not only is it alive and thriving, there is a new crop of young women proud to call themselves X-rated stars.
I chose to be in this industry because I am comfortable with my sexuality and performing on film.
Winner for Best New Starlet is Jenna Hayes.
Yes! You see us idealizing and sort of holding up porn stars often as these idols, like Jenna Jameson being on the bestseller list, as well as just being this very recognizable female celebrity.
Jenna Jameson, a central figure in legitimizing the pornography industry, has made being a porn performer appear to be a glamorous career choice. She founded Club Jenna, which later sold to Playboy for $17 million. In her video game, players engage in virtual sex with her.
Ooh, you're fucking my ass.
Jameson also promotes sex dolls that bear her likeness and sex toys modeled from her own body parts. Jameson has become a cultural icon.
Oh, hello. Please give me your cock.
This is America, and that's a great free enterprise system when a girl can make $250,000 a year just with her body. It's great.
The argument that pornography gives women meaningful economic opportunities masks the fact that very few women actually sustain a career in pornography and acquire any kind of wealth. The lion's share of the profits in pornography are still made by the people who produce and distribute it, which are overwhelmingly men. But beyond that, it obscures a fundamental question. Why do we live in a society in which economic equality is so apparent, that is, women have less access? Do we want to simply accept that fundamental state of inequality and tell women to go pursue some small chance at economic success by selling the most intimate parts of themselves in a patriarchal culture?
The World Modeling Agency reports that each year, more than 1,000 women come to find jobs in the pornography industry, hoping to become the next big porn star.
This is your first scene in porno.
Yes.
That's great. And I was more nervous than you are.
Yep.
Now, we got to teach you proper posing etiquette. You got to arch your back.
Arch your back.
Yeah, always arch. Make it a shelf. Yeah. And you say yes, sir, and no, sir, to guys that are older than you.
Yes.
Practice right now.
Yes, sir, no, sir.
And when guys say, I'm going to come in your mouth, you say...
Yummy.
You're a quick learner.
One of the most important lessons we can learn from pornography is about the process of commodification within capitalism. Critics have long observed that in capitalism, everything is commodified. Everything is turned into something that can be bought and sold.
Hi, do you know where the beach is? Do y'all want to ride? I can give you $100 each to go with us. It'll be the best time of our life. Excuse me, ma'am. I'll give you $100 if you'll come with us. Just come with us. Come on. Cool.
Pornography takes the most intimate, the most private spaces of our lives, our sexual experiences, our connections to other human beings at that most basic level, and sells them to us.
I'm a product, you know, and I know that, and I'm a dang good product.
For blowjobs, regular blowjobs, I get 300 for those. For a girl-girl scene, it's usually 600. Me and one guy, that's 900. Me and a guy, one guy anal, that's 1,000. Me and two guys, whether or not be anal or regular, is 1,100. Double penetration, which is one in the vagina, one in the butt, that's 1,200. And gangbangs usually range, I start at 1,300 for three guys, and then add 100 for each additional guy. And double anal, 1,500. And double anal would be two in the butt.
As a woman who does not have a college education and has no work experience, I could basically choose from working food service, retail, any low-skill, low-wage work, or the sex industry.
I do a series for Platinum X called Baker's Dozen, where you have 13 loads on a girl's face, and then another girl comes and eats it off her face.
Why on her face?
Because she's so beautiful that it's like it's like a dog marking its territory.
You can tell if they're enjoying what they're doing on the screen.
They're moaning and screaming. They look like they're having fun. It looks like they like it.
As a fan just wanting to jerk off and watch some shit at 4:30 in the morning after I've done all my work, I just want to at least pretend that she's liking what she's doing.
Do you want to kiss me?
If I want to kiss you?
Yeah.
You're too creamy for me.
No.
That was good, huh? That was good.
This is their choice to be doing this. It's what they want to do. They're getting paid for it.
It's your choice to make these. It's your choice to watch these. It's your choice to be in these. It's all about choice.
When your best choice is taking off your clothes and sticking toys in your cunt for money, I think there's a real problem with the labor system.
The thing about pornography, it's all a fantasy. It's not reality.
Porn is fantasy and real sex is real sex.
There are no such things as mutual fantasy. Ladies, trust me, there is no fantasy where a handsome prince runs to you across a meadow and takes you in his arms and then comes on your face, okay?
I think we often make the mistake of thinking that pornography is just an image of people having sex. What pornography is it is a worldview. It is an ideology. It is a way of understanding relationships.
Men are the majority of consumers of pornography.
Yeah.
That has changed to a degree in recent years, but it remains fundamentally true that 70% of the audience is straight men watching it alone.
Pornography meets a real need that people have to somehow break out of their sexual loneliness, their sexual isolation, their failure to connect sexually with somebody. And as with every other basic human need that gets inappropriately dealt with, it becomes an opportunity for private enterprise to come in. And that's what private enterprises do. They make money off of human needs and wants and desires. And in the process, of course, they begin to shape those needs and desires.
You ready? Yeah. You want to do this? All right, I am very proud to say that the AVN Expo is officially open.
The Adult Entertainment Expo in Las Vegas is an annual trade show and has been sponsored by Adult Video News for over two decades. The largest event of its kind, the expo features hundreds of exhibitors selling pornographic videos and sex toys. They use female performers to promote their merchandise and attract tens of thousands of fans. Similar conventions have expanded to different cities throughout the U.S.
Women like to be dominated over, and that's basically what it is. That's their fantasy. Women like to be controlled by men.
These girls here do things that other girls can't do. There's a lot of tentacles inside here, a lot of demons. These girls are getting, having sex like with this one demon that has like six penises, and hot flaming sword is putting it in her vagina.
Keywords about Black Mirror in New York, urban noir, kinky, intense, and honest.
What do you mean by kinky?
Well, the sex is really dirty. I mean, a lot of, you know, people shitting and pissing and enema-ing and not worrying about it.
I'd say for the last 2 years, the most popular genre has been anal. I think they forgot the other hole existed.
Every time a wife is mean to her husband or everything else, he secretly thinks in the back of his mind, I'd like to fuck you in the ass. And that's what it is. It's just a way of getting back at his wife for all the bitchiness she's been to him. And that's what I think the attraction, the anal, is.
It's the craziest board game ever made. Well, first, all the players are pimps, and you go around the board buying hoes. Mm-hmm. Then you try to put all the other pimps out of business. We're here looking for distributors nationwide.
As we have developed some racial consciousness as a society, there are certain limits to the viciousness of the racist stereotypes that you can show in the mass media. None of this is true when it comes to pornography. The images of African American men and women especially are incredibly racist.
I want to suck this big nigger cock.
Yes, that's it, baby. Fuck yes.
You have this black male who is constructed, presented, described as out of control sexually with a huge black penis, and he's going to use it against this little white woman.
Oh, yes, fuck me, fuck me.
Black women as animalistic whores who can't get enough sex.
The porn industry also uses racial stereotypes to exploit different ethnic minority groups.
If you had those type of images in mainstream media today, there would be an enormous outcry. But because it's in pornography and because it's sexualized, there's very little criticism of it.
If you're an industry in capitalism and your goal is to expand market share and increase profit, and the consumer base for that product is men, in a male supremacist society, what kind of material is likely to come out of that system?
We do real dolls, and we're the creators and designers of that technology right there. Because a lot of men don't want to deal with women. That's just a lot of overhead. Here, you pay once, and she never asks you for food. She doesn't want anything. She doesn't take half, and she, when you're done with her, you put her away. Think about that. What a wonderful world.
Am I seeing their humanity? You know, am I seeing... No, I'm not. Are they seeing my humanity? Are they seeing a real, live human being? No, they're... You know, I'm seeing a disgusting customer, and they're seeing a hot slut who wants it.
I respect women. I just don't respect women that are in the porn industry as much. I usually look at them as sex objects instead of a person.
In pornography, all women are available to all men for sex. But when you leave that pornographic world, you have to enter a real world in which all women are not available to you sexually. My own experience is knowing that in my head, but still feeling in my body that reaction and having to consciously say, I am not in the pornographic world, I am in the real world. Now, I do that consciously trying to resist it. How many men don't resist it?
Well, they haven't had much worth watching on the field, so New York Jets fans have created their own excitement at halftime of home games. Large crowds, comprised mostly of men, apparently gather at gate D of the stadium and holler obscene chants at women, trying to get them to partially strip.
How many men leave the pornographic world and sort of seamlessly move into the real world, in which that which we call a fantasy in the pornographic world is then experienced in the real world?
As a survivor of childhood sexual abuse who was introduced to pornography very early, I have no doubt it was meant to teach me how to be subservient, how to degrade myself, how to understand what sexuality is.
The use of pornography in sexual abuse situations is a major concern for agencies such as Sanctuary for Families, which provides legal and social services for battered women and their children in New York City.
One of the things I'm always concerned about is what the effects that pornography have when the relationship is unequal, and that's something that we see, in all of our clients, I guess.
In about 70% of the cases in which there is sexual abuse with my clients, pornography is involved. Either that he's watching it and then wanting to recreate that, or he's making her watch it, or watching it and then wanting to film, and have a movie of their own.
I would say the pornography is a trigger, because he would watch it and then he would expect her to perform. Then when she refuses, then he gets violent and he gets angry.
This is a pattern of abuse that these women find particularly degrading and humiliating. I mean, it makes them turn red, cry, freeze up when they're recounting these stories.
I think that there is a natural component of power as an erotic stimulant in all sexuality. And whether anyone likes it or not, I'm afraid that there is a matter of biology involved here. I never experience a single moment of guilt or shame or anxiety over the prospect that the pictures that I make might inspire people to do things that would be evil. I believe that evildoers do evil things and don't need pictures to tell them how. Neil.
The pornographers want you to think that you can see pornography, you can watch as much as you want, and just as you then zip up your pants, you can zip up your brain and put it away. It doesn't work like that. It leaks, and it leaks into the everyday world of your life.
I interviewed over 100 people. It was about 80% male. The vast majority of the people I interviewed were men who consider themselves casual users. People tend to think that pornography is something that enhances your sex life. But the men that I talked to, even men who were big fans of pornography and happy consumers of it, found that pornography had begun to dictate the way that they thought about sex that they found themselves unable to achieve orgasm during regular intercourse with their partners, that often they had to replicate scenes or moves from pornography.
I like aggressive sex where it's like really forceful, like stroking and like spanking and hair pulling and like yelling and screaming and moaning, like a regular hardcore film, I guess. Like that's where I probably learned what regular sex was from anyway, so that's why I have sex the way I do.
A lot of men said that while they were having sex with their partners, pornography would infiltrate into their consciousness, often unbidden and unwanted. Other men said that they found they were unable to achieve orgasm unless they thought about those images. So even when they were with their wife and they used to be able to kind of be in the moment and focus on her or whatever might else come into their head, that they found themselves needing to conjure up scenes and images from porn movies or things they'd seen online in order to maintain their level of excitement.
The first time I watched pornography with anal sex, and it was with my girlfriend, and it was awkward at first because I didn't know how to react to the anal sex that we were seeing. I was trying to gauge her reaction while watching it. So it was kind of like I was watching two things at once. I was watching the TV, but then I was also watching for her reaction to it. At first, she seemed disgusted, so I didn't show my interest in the actual act, and we fast forward through it. But the more and more that we would see it in pornography, the less disgusted she reacted to it, to which eventually she didn't react at all. And that's when I decided to approach the subject.
Miranda was pleased to discover that Ethan was as passionate between the sheets as he was on the subject of non-narrative film. But just as they were getting down to business, Miranda realized they were not alone.
Just something to get us in the mood. I think it's kind of sexy, don't you?
You know, women would say to me, I was wondering why we weren't having sex anymore. Or I was wondering why suddenly he was obsessed with ejaculating on my breasts. He'd never been into that. And then I found that he's looking at porn, and porn is all about the money shot, and that's what he's been looking at online.
He had a work desk in our home. And there was a big dictionary, and I took it down, pornographic pictures spilled out. And they were small to medium size, very, very carefully cut out with like an X-Acto knife. I pictured him sitting there, deciding which woman gets the cut, which one is worth saving. I began to think I'm really, really have a lot of sexual problems because I can't do this. And I'm not devoting myself to this. I'm not able to wear these clothes. I'm not able to have the body that can wear these clothes. And yet there's all this proof in my home all the time that there are thousands of women who do that, who can do it, but it's not me. The feeling during sex was that any woman could fulfill the job I'm fulfilling. He just needs to plug in a physical entity so that he can play the fantasy out on her.
It's really hypocritical for women to take porn out of a man's life, to expect that just because of marriage or just because of a serious commitment. You know, they'd do a lot better if they just accept it, roll with it, and have fun with it.
The pressure to be hypersexual is increasingly present in women's daily lives. Advice programs, talk shows, and books instruct average women to spice up their sex lives with pornography. Private fitness instructors and health clubs teach women striptease and pole dance routines.
Former pussycat doll Carmen Electra turned her titillating talents into a technique for staying superstar skinny.
and made a workout video that's our best and naughtiest way to get twisted. Cardio strip tease. Bend your bods around this, people.
5, 6, 7, snap.
What's interesting about, you know, porn or strippers or any other kind of sex work is it's women whose job it is to impersonate lust or to, you know, fake arousal. The idea that you're going to get more in touch with your own authentic, personal, innate sexuality by imitating a woman whose job it is to imitate sexuality, I mean, you're getting pretty far removed from the real thing.
Girls Gone Wild Ultimate Rush takes you where the action is, with more sex, more excitement, and more hot young girls than ever before.
Went on spring break with Girls Gone Wild. These guys walk around the beach, they walk around town. Young women start streaming up and saying, I gotta be on Girls Gone Wild, I gotta get a hat. And they just start, you know, flashing and stripping and the rest of it.
How did you, as a college student, afford to stay in such a nice place?
I saved up.
How many people are staying here with you?
Three.
Is it just you?
Well, it's me and two other girls.
Quick little flash, just psh, psh. You have puffy nipples?
There was this one 19-year-old girl who had stripped for them at the back of a bar. She's simulated masturbation for the camera. And I said, you know, so what's in it for you? Why'd you do this? And she looked at me with just totally baffled. And she said, the only way I could see someone not doing this is if they were considering a career in politics. And that was an idea that I heard a lot from young women down there, that it was just like, obviously, you would do this. Obviously, this was just, you know, this is what women do. This is what hot women do.
At a lot of the hip-hop events where I'm spinning hip-hop music, it still surprises me to this day when a woman will come to me and request Two Live Crews, We Want Some Pussy. Literally, actually see women on the dance floor dancing to it, singing the chorus, "Hey, we want some pussy." To me, it would almost be like white supremacist hip hop saying, you know, those drug using niggers in the city, you know, but I would dance to it because the music is catchy. I mean, it's really, I don't understand why more women don't take offense to this kind of stuff.
There is a new use for the student body.
Dorm porn.
Made by students. This craze taking over colleges everywhere and...
She's a college student and a porn star at the same time.
An all-new Tyra starts now.
College students have also begun to produce their own pornographic magazines. Many of the producers and models are female students from schools such as Harvard and the University of Chicago. While most of them claim to express a liberated sexuality, some make no attempt to hide their profit motives.
There's a magazine on the stands called Boink. It's put out by a Boston University student named Alicia. She's a college student who started her own porno magazine, man, and, you know, gives you ideas, you know?
And in the beginning, everyone, when they had heard about the magazine, it was getting some press, everyone was looking for justification. Mm-hmm. Oh, there's going to be articles about STDs. There's going to be articles about contraception, right? And, you know, yes, there's going to be those articles, but it's here for entertainment. It's here to masturbate to. It's here to titillate. It's supposed to arouse you, and there's nothing wrong with that.
I'd like to see you in those red panties. Got quite the little ass on you.
Thank you.
I think you're trying for the wrong audience.
I think you should market to older guys. College kids are getting that.
We have been approached by two different television stations, and they both wanted to make some sort of reality series. We recently signed a book deal for six figures with Time Warner to put out a bigger version of the book.
I think when people don't feel like they could actually challenge sexism and fundamentally change the terms on which we're evaluated, then the reaction is, it's like, well, if you can't beat sexism, at least you can join it. If women are going to be viewed just as sex objects, well, at least I'm going to assert myself about how I'm viewed as a sex object. You know, I'm going to assert that I'm sexy and try to be a part of that process, so at least it's not just something that's happening to me, but I have some measure of control over what's going on in my life. But I think it's actually a huge mistake, because I feel like in a fundamental way it's just giving up on the idea that we could change the terms of how women are thought to be.
Joanna Angel graduated from Rutgers University, majoring in English literature. She has developed the popular website Burning Angel, where she describes her work as fusing punk rock with hardcore pornography.
I have definitely learned a lot about myself, and I've managed to become a pretty powerful person, like, through porn. Now, I don't feel cheap or dirty when, like, guys whistle at me in the street or give me looks or stare at me. I just think, like, you know what, guys? Like, you're going to go home and jerk off to my movie, and I'm going to, like, make money off it, you know?
Double Dong is going to fuck me by itself.
VCA Pictures presents...
So don't you even bother!
A Burning Angel film.
When did you realize you like Daddy?
When I was five.
And how do you like Daddy treat you?
Like a whore.
Like a whore. And when did Daddy treat you like a whore?
When I was five.
And how did Daddy treat you like a whore?
He fed me some milk.
How did he feed you some milk?
He unbuttoned his pants and he showed me something special.
People are like, you know, pornography objectifies women. I'm like, how do you make a woman into an object? And like, what the hell does that mean?
I mean, you can have a porn where a girl's getting choked and hit and spit on and the guy's calling her a dirty slut and stuff, and that's okay. That can still be feminist as long as everybody there is in control of what they're doing. Oh, this is my Christmas present.
Now there's all kinds of porn. There's everything for everybody who likes any kind of erotic depiction. Andrew Blake and Candida Royale make lovely, lushly mounted, sort of high fashion looking pictures. Now, it's very easy for outsiders, particularly those who have a hostile agenda toward porn of some kind, to seize on ugly porn or mean porn or porn where the object seems to, where the purpose seems to be to inflict some kind of abusive sexuality on one or another party involved.
A team of scholars from New York University, the University of Massachusetts, and the University of Rhode Island examine the content of popular pornographic videos.
Defenders of pornography often state that critics hold up the worst case examples, most degrading, most violent pornography, and talk about why this is harmful. But in fact, pornography is very diverse. Our research team was interested in what people are actually viewing, so we randomly selected videos from a list of best renting videos. In that way, we were not responsible for choosing which videos to content analyze. Rather, the viewers are choosing which videos to watch, and we are sampling from their choice.
The research team examined 304 scenes from the most popular videos released in 2005.
White bulls coming in white bulls.
No swallowing allowed.
How old are you?
19. They found that 89.8% of the scenes included either verbal or physical aggression. 48% contained verbal aggression, mostly name-calling and insults, while 82.2% contained physical aggression. 94.4% of the aggressive acts were targeted at women.
You want some fucking food? I'll give you some fucking food. Get over here, you little bitch.
And the female performers frequently expressed enjoyment in response to the aggressive behavior.
I was a research assistant and a coder. This involved watching the films very closely and quantitatively counting different sex acts and acts of aggression and violence.
The research team reported that spanking and gagging were the most frequently depicted acts of aggression.
Gagging is, you know, typically during female to male oral sex, where the penis is inserted so far down her throat that triggers the gagging reflex in the woman. But the men who are doing the gagging, seeing that, they, you know, they don't stop, and it's often accompanied by, you know, keep your eyes open. You got to keep your eyes open and look at me while it's happening.
Look at me. Look up at me. There you go. There you go.
There's only so many ways to have sex. They've all been shot. All you can try to do is make it a little more sensational. But it's been so sensationalized, how many dicks can you stick in a girl at one time? At one time, three. Yeah. I guess you could maybe make it four. One in her mouth, two in her ass, one in her pussy, maybe.
There are limits to what you can show, how you can show it, because it just limits to what the human body can endure. So what the pornographers have to do is always think of new and different things as a way to keep the audience going.
41% of the scenes we content analyzed contained ATM, which is not automated teller machines, but ass-to-mouth, a sequence commonly seen in pornography, in which the male inserts his penis in the woman's anus, and afterwards removing it, puts it in the woman's mouth.
And in some of these films, they make jokes about she literally has to eat shit.
In the documentary film Missionary Positions, filmmaker Bill Day captured a pornographer's filming of an ATM scene.
I wasn't directing the piece. And I, as soon as it was said, I mean, I looked at the girl and I knew she didn't want to do it.
Okay.
She's gonna go barf. You all right? She didn't puke like vomit, she retched, I guess is the word.
What's on the screen, baby?
I don't think a lot of girls would be interested in performing ass to mouth because they would probably think it's kind of disgusting. So, you know, watching it in porn, the porn stars are getting paid, they don't care, or they don't care enough to not do it. Personally, it turns me on that, like, a girl is willing to do something that most girls find kind of disgusting.
All of these acts are, at their base, about male domination and female submission. Men's ability to do whatever they want to do to women and women accepting it. And even further in pornography, not only women accepting it, but women seeing it as part of their nature.
It's the dirtier, the better, you know, the more cocks in the scene, the better. So it's just really taking kind of an extreme turn lately.
Have you been watching these movies lately? There's a lot of hard stuff. S&M mixed with sex, S&M fetish of all kinds. That's where people are going with it.
I hate to say, but I think the future of American porn is violence.
The United Nations defines torture as any act by which severe pain or suffering, whether physical or mental, is intentionally inflicted on a person. What makes a torture-like treatment entertaining? What makes an image of suffering sexually arousing?
Tell me something dirty before we end this scene.
Pornography takes violence against women and it sexualizes it. And when you sexualize violence against women, you render the violence invisible.
Pornography, with all of its destructive effects, is a sign, or a reflection of the failure to question an economic system that rewards enterprises for profit maximizing, endlessly market expanding.
Hello, how are you, everybody? 25 years ago, the first porn awards were held in some dark room in a Vegas shit hotel. And now here we are, 25 years later, in the classiest hotel in Vegas. And we're here to say fucking boo. That's right, sir. What, there's nothing wrong with an orgasm. It's a natural body function, like a sneeze or taking a shit. At the end, you clean up with a tissue, you move on.
They will explore every kind of sexual perversion, dysfunction, misery, sadness, desperation they can to produce anything for which there's a market. And if there isn't a market, they'll go to work to create such a market. And as long as we don't question the pornography industry, you're allowing the producer to create the need that he can profitably meet.
In 2003, there were 900 million rentals. Unless there are 900 lunatics renting a million tapes each, it's quite a bit of consumers out there renting the material. Happy
times. The fact that more than $10 billion a year is spent on pornography makes it very clear that pornography does not express a deviant sexuality. It in fact expresses a very conventional sexuality. And that means the road takes us not just to the valley in California where this material is produced. It takes us into our own lives and into our own bedroom.
When you're watching porn, you're in the heat of the moment, you're in the passion of it, you're aroused, you're actively masturbating or whatever. Sex can seem very, very fun. It can seem like, oh, maybe someday I want to lube up a woman and flip her over and, fuck her from behind. But, honestly, the second I have an orgasm and that passion kind of sinks out of my body and you're still watching the movie, you start to really see, what's going on. And it's kind of just foul.
Ooh. Open that mouth, stick that tongue in.
You ready? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, oh.
You're left in the end, you're done masturbating, you've had your orgasm, you're not really feeling passion anymore, and on screen is this woman who's naked, down on her knees, has cum all over her, and the man's just standing there, in his power position, and he's loving it. You just kind of wonder, this is not sexy. This is not sex. This is not how I want to experience sex.
Just stay.